top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue, the big station.
This is the Midday News for Tuesday, February 26. I'm Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, manager of the Fokoli landfill says Saturday's fire was a learning curve for the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation. Barbados opposition party wants government to get down to business. And U.S. says airstrike killed 35 Al-Shabaab fighters in Somalia. The news is brought to you compliments Quartz Dominica Limited and a Fast Cash.
Short on cash and need cash now? Then Quartz Ready Cash interest-free payday loan is here for you. Get up to $500 in cash today. Come in today for our hassle-free service. No interest, quick approval, and easy payment terms. Get the cash you need when you need it with a Quartz Ready Cash payday loan today. Visit our nearest branch for your interest-free payday loan now. Quartz Ready Cash, ready when you are.
Dominica, are you ready for Carnival? Is your costume paid for? What about T-shirt band? Your clothes for Queen Show? Your nice dandan for Calypso?
Your CWO money?
And never leave home without Pets money? Well, enjoying all the festivities sound like it could cost a pretty penny. So, don't let yourself miss one moment of the action because of insufficient funds. Come into Fast Cash today and get a loan up to $3,000 for all your Mass Dominic needs. Yes, I said Fast Cash got the right hookup for you. Just visit our office in Roseau or call our mobile customer service representative on 275-6804 and we'll come to you. Enjoy the real mass with Fast Cash.
Terms and conditions apply.
Smarter, faster, better. Fast Cash.
Parliamentary representative for the East Libya constituency and minister for Kalinagar Affairs, Cassius Daru, says it is unfortunate that Dr. Theodore Thomas, Dominican surgeon, was viciously attacked in the community by their own people. He has condemned the vicious act, stating that violence against one is violence against all. He has made an appeal for peace during this year's carnival activities and moving forward.
On behalf of myself and my community, I want to say in clear terms that we as a collective condemn this act of violence against our very own doctor. And when any act of violence is carried out on any Kalinagar brother or sister, it's an attack on all of us, and we condemn it in clear terms. Violence have no place in our homes, our family, and our community, and we must stand hand in hand and in unity as a people to educate our youths and our seniors that we must be living examples and leaders in our communities. We must continue to stand with each other as we get into the festive moment, which is Carnival. I am appealing also to the people of the Salibia constituency to please don't use that opportunity for revenge or for settling the different scores that we may have had over the years. Allow the people to celebrate peacefully and enjoy the carnival season. Again, like I said, I am condemning all acts of violence that has been carried out against our Kalinagar brothers by our own Kalinagar people.
The Lagos Street Jam takes place tonight. The Street Jam is an annual event which has become an integral part of Carnival, staged by the Swinging Stars Band. Member of the band, Norman Leiter, says it started in 1983. He was speaking on a local radio program on Monday.
It was actually a dream. We watched the situation and we said, boy, Lagos was a place of action, the place of action in Roseau. I mean, all types of people would be there, or the rum shops, every day was action there. So we said, boy, if we could maybe play from Piper Step, you know, play on Piper Step, get the police to block the road, and that would be a mashup. We tried, but we didn't get the support. And when Freedom Party took over, we approached them. They won in June 1980.
He says tonight's event is expected to start at 8 p.m. and run until midnight.
The police usually give permission up to midnight. So you'll be hearing all I would say of the up tempo tunes, the road match tunes, at least from Stardom Tent, for sure. And Swinging Stars will also have a major part in it. We'll accompany the Calypso in it, and we'll play songs on our own, you know, get people in the real carnival mood. You know, people know all the guys in the tent, so I'm not going to mention any 1, 2, 3, 4, or 4 to song bias, but we know the song. We're going to have a wonderful time in Lago, actually. I think so. And I want to say 8 o'clock, because sometimes people come from all like 6:30, 7, and they say, boy, they're taking time and so on. Well, I don't think there'll be any problem with song system tonight, because we're going to use a truck. The truck is already set up. Put the truck on the side, and the artist will perform from a 10-foot stage, put a stage next to the truck.
Manager of the Fokole Landfill, Geno Jacob, says Saturday's fire was a learning curve for them at the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation. He says the organization will now be putting more security measures in place and enforcing the appropriate separation of waste material. Saturday's fire posed a serious challenge for fire officers who struggled to get things under control.
Don't come to the landfill with wood and mix up with paper, and we won't accept that. You'll be left out of the gate. And again, we've already placed a fine in place, $200. Any trucker who comes in, who wants to come into the landfill and with mixed waste, you have to separate. You have to stay on the landfill and separate those waste, because there's sections for the disposal of those categories or those items of waste. Again, a learning curve. We must have more hydrants on the landfill. We must. These are recommendations that were done by the fire department last two fires. I'm having a short stint in the landfill as landfill manager. But those things will be put in place. The segregation or separation of galvanized white goods, e-waste, which is electronic waste, at sections of the landfill, that will be demarcated with proper berms and soil banks to just ensure in the future those things would happen. Having a hydrant close enough to bring water quickly, and having those fighting equipment, hose, things like that, to bring control to those areas if there is need.
Still on the local scene, Government Senator Jayasiah Benwa has been commended on the efforts that he has put forward in ensuring that the constituency association and party groups remain functioning. He was honored Monday night in the Newtown community. Felix Thomas of the Roseau South Constituency Association says, with the functioning constituency association, tasks at hand will be made easier.
Because the only party group, the only constituency association that is really functioning and alive and well, in fact, properly constructed, well organized, is that of the Roseau South constituency. I am saying that is one thing that he had been able to ensure that he get that gelled together. Now we have a task, but with that constituency association, I believe our task will be much easier. We are able to enter the homes of all of the laborites, and I think that have already begun. There is no division in the Roseau South constituency. You understand me? There is one Roseau South constituency. And let it be known that the whole, not a section, not a fraction, but the whole of the Roseau South laborites, past, former, and even future, will be on the march to victory to make Ms. Shakira win the seat for the Labour Party.
Labour Party candidate for Roseau South, Shakira Lockhart-Hippolyte, says Jayasiah Benwa and herself will be working together to build up the Roseau South constituency.
And I believe that it's a vision that we all share, and that vision, it will continue. I also want to thank those who organized this commendation ceremony. It is no surprise that we are here today for Jayasiah, because Jayasiah is genuine, he's hardworking, and he's dedicated. And I will tell you all that this campaign will go back to the 2005 campaign, and Jayasiah will be right with me, alongside me. So I just want to thank the organizers. I know sometimes we give people their flowers when they're dead, but I'm very happy that we are here today and we are recognizing Jayasiah, and we are appreciating him for the hard work that he has done in Roseau South.
Benoit says he remains focused as there is an important goal to achieve.
And through the wisdom of our Prime Minister, we have been blessed with a formidable candidate to go into the next battle of the general elections. And therefore, I want to encourage each and every member in the Roseau South family, put on your breastplate. Use the sword of the Spirit, shine it up. Make sure you pray every morning as our candidate started off her day for prayer. I think we should take example from a leadership style in that regard. And we should be praying and working ceaselessly as the next weeks and months go by towards an outstanding and resounding victory at the polls for the Dominican Labour Party with our candidate, Ms. Sekiora Lockhart Ibollet. I want to say to each and everyone here today that although this may have been designed as a ceremony of commendation, and I'm very grateful for that gesture, my fellow members of the Roseau South family, because it is really an encouragement for me. I want to say to you, this by no means represents an end to my tenure of service in the Roseau South.
Attorney Anthony Astafan has called dishonest a statement made by OAS Secretary General Luis Almagro, allegedly stating that Dominica was the only country in the Caribbean that has had less than a 10% rate of implementation of the OAS recommendations. Minister for Foreign Affairs Francine Baron recently wrote a letter to OAS Secretary General requesting that he retract his statements and offer an apology due to certain statements made publicly via Twitter after meeting with a former Dominican Ambassador Crispin Gregoire.
And I think the Secretary General's release is dishonest. It's dishonest for a number of reasons. One, it's not a matter of coincidence as far as I'm concerned that the only member of the opposition that the Secretary General has met to date has come from Dominica. 1 year or year and a half thereafter, after Prime Minister Rothfuss stated at a CARICOM meeting or OAS meeting or wherever that the Secretary General should be fired for the manner in which he's conducted himself as Secretary General of the OAS. And then more importantly for the people of this country, the Secretary General said that Dominica was the only one in the Caribbean who has not yet implemented more than 10% of recommendations. Bear in mind as well that the government has received recommendations from other persons, including the Commonwealth. And it is public knowledge that the Commonwealth has given technical assistance to the Electoral Commission. You can confirm that with the chairman because that is public knowledge.
Astafan says if Dominica is being pointed out for shortfalls, so too should other Caribbean islands take the spotlight for their shortcomings.
Report says countries also show different implementation rate of the recommendations as Figure 2 portrays. For example, Colombia, Salvador, Bolivia, and Venezuela show implementation rates of 72, 70, 67, and 65% respectively, while in the Caribbean, concretely, St. Kitts and Nevis, Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica and Bahamas, the implementation rate does not reach 10%, which may be due to the different legal and historic traditions as well as the different levels of regulation within these societies. So the misrepresentation by omission from the Secretary General of the OAS was that he failed to mention St. Kitts, Antigua and Bahamas because not every country in the Caribbean has observers from the OAS monitoring their elections. But what was particularly dishonest was its failure to say that the experts said that that implementation rate may be due to, quote, different legal and historic traditions, as well as different levels of regulation within these societies. So what they're saying is the higher your level of regulation for election matters, the lower the implementation rate of recommendations from the OAS is going to be, simply because you already have in place a well-regulated legislative regime by Parliament and in the laws.
Engineer and Managing Director of Jar Sales and Services Limited, Steve Astafan, is stressing the importance for increased safety measures to be used within Dominica's construction industry. Astafan is also calling on the Dominica Builders and Contractors Association to enforce the legislation, which demands certain safety measures are implemented before the commencement of a project. Astafan emphasized this is extremely needed now more than ever, as the Factories Act references the standard for proper health and services within the industry.
Well, the construction industry is like any other industry. The industry, when you have a manufacturing industry, you have heavy equipment that can damage people and injure them, and the various chemicals that you use. We have had a Factories Act which deals with the operational health services in Dominica, and this app needs to be recently amended it under, I believe, the Environmental Department is the one governing that. But my views is that the builders and contractors are the one responsible at the end of the day. That is what the legislation. But if you have a body that is administering the act, overseeing the act, coming on the site and being able to shut down a site when the operational health and safety procedures are not doing what is expected, then that will put additional pressure on contractors and workers, so the workers can understand that the law will shut us down if we do not administer to that. And you losing workforce from injury is a cost. You lose time going to deal with what matters when you have a person being injured or injuries or death occurring on a site. This takes on a mental toll on the contracting firm, on the management, and also a mental toll on their workers. And cost a lot, loss of income, you understand? So you want to make sure you have at least amount of injuries on a site, and especially now that we're on roofs and we're working on heights, they need to be training on operational health and safety and the administration of operational health and safety. That is my view on this.
And ophthalmologist Dr. Hazel Schillenford-Ricketts has been informed that her retirement has taken effect as she has reached the age of 60 and was told additionally that if she wishes to continue serving the public within her capacity, she needs to apply for a contract from the government as is customary. Dr. Ricketts specialized in ophthalmology and dealt with other areas such as premature babies, diabetics, and glaucoma surgeries, among other services. Speaking to Q95 on Tuesday, Dr. Ricketts says she believes she is not a victim of victimization and added that the cause for this centers around the fact that her application for a contract is still being reviewed and has not yet been approved by the medical board.
As of my birthday, October 6, 2018, I achieved the age of 60, which is the age of retirement from the government service. And therefore, I was informed by the chief personnel officer, like everybody else that are retiring, that on that date, you will be reaching the age for retirement. You are advised to take all your pre-retirement leave prior to that date. That was essentially the letter. I was unable to take all my leave because the ophthalmologist that was contracted to work in the hospital was originally supposed to have started in January of 2018, but he did not come until June of 2018, and I stayed an extra month to overlap with him to hand over professionally, and then I proceeded on my leave. Although I was still giving services while I was in Dominica, he is not able to cover all the services that I normally provided when I was there alone. As a result, I still have about 33 days leave owed to me. So this is, then it is customary when you retire in Dominica that if you want to continue working, you apply to the government for a contract. And this I did. I submitted a contract with the terms under which I would like to enter in the contract, and we were supposed to be in negotiation. So this is what is happening. Now, in the meantime, I was still continuing to provide services, especially for the diabetics, as I said, the premature babies, children, and continuing to do eye surgeries for persons that I have given dates for doing surgeries from long ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fact. Now, I know that sometimes the bureaucratic process takes a little while to kick in, but eventually you get a contract and, you know, you get paid and is negotiated for, and so that wasn't phasing me. I continued doing my services. Even when Dr. Pascal was told that he can no longer operate, I was still continuing the services.
Uh-huh.
Then yesterday, I had a conversation with Dr. Blah, and it came up that, well, you know, I was seeking information about the status of my application, and I was told that it was submitted from her desk to the ministry, and she has not gotten any response yet from the ministry. So I told her, well, you know, I'm getting consults to see patients, and I have the diabetics that I'm still seeing, and so should I continue with the background of what happened to Dr. Pascal? She told me from her advice as a hospital medical director that she would advise me to stop all services that I am providing until I get a contract.
Additionally, Dr. Schlinford Ricketts says the medical director of the Princess Margaret Hospital was the one who gave the final recommendation to cease services until the approval of her contract.
Because right now, she, as hospital medical director, has no authorization from the administration of health to allow me to continue working or to continue providing the service. So I brought to her attention, well, this is going to cause a problem for a number of persons.
In other news this afternoon, the main opposition Democratic Labour Party, DLP, is calling on the ruling Barbados Labour Party, BLP, to get down to business in administering the affairs of the island instead of engaging in a blame game 9 months after the general election. The BLP won all the 30 seats in the May 24, 2018 general election, and Prime Minister Mia Motley became the first woman to head a government in this Caribbean community, CARICOM country. The DLP said in a statement, after 9 months in office, it is time for the Motley administration to get on with the job they were elected to do instead of apportioning blame to the former government whenever solutions evade them. The government has blamed the former DLP administration for the economic woes confronting the island. It has since had to enter into a U.S. $290 million extended fund facility with the International Monetary Fund and has significantly cut down expenditure within the public service by retrenching many works. And the U.S. military announced Monday that an airstrike in Somalia killed 35 al-Shabaab fighters on Sunday. That means at least 180 fighters from the al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist group have been killed in 22 airstrikes so far in 2019, according to the figures released by the U.S. Africa Command, which oversees U.S. military operations on the continent. The latest strike took place about 23 miles east of Hiran region. U.S. Africa Command said the airstrike targeted the fighters as they were transitioning between locations in a rural area. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Manager of the Fokole landfill, Geno Jacobs, says Saturday's fire was a learning curve for the Dominica Solid Waste Management Corporation. Barbados opposition party wants governments to get down to business. And U.S. says airstrike killed 35 al-Shabaab fighters in Somalia. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I'm Kimberly Benjamin.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only